Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. It's great to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio. We are today beginning day 23 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. So doing a little quick mental math, that tells me we have 10 days to go. Can you believe that? When we first started this preparation, it seemed like such a long time, didn't it? And one of the things I've told you, having been through this five times before, this being the sixth year that I've done it, both on my show and in my own life, it goes fast. It's amazing what happens, and I'm so glad that you're able to join me and that you are still with me and that you haven't quit yet, because I'm going to tell you something. This is going to change your life for the better. You're really going to love this total consecration once you give Mary the power to work in your life. Now, the one thing I want you to keep in mind is the fact that on October the 7th, the day that we actually make our total consecration, that's the day. You know, right now, all we're doing is preparing. We're preparing for our total consecration. But on October the 7th, something changes. We commit to it. We say, okay, Blessed Mother, I'm going to give you the permission to turn me into a saint. That's what's going to happen on October the 7th. And then at that point, the Blessed Mother can really start to work. So right now, we are just going through the preparation process, but that doesn't mean you won't get any graces. You are going to be getting graces even through this process, but on October the 7th, things will really change. I want to remind you to let me know if you have any questions at all, if you think you have, if you feel like quitting, if you don't think this is right for you, if you don't think you're doing a good enough job, send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Give me a chance. Let's talk about it, because I really want to try to encourage you. I know how powerful this can be. That's why I want to keep you encouraged. I want to keep you headed in the right direction. Today on the program, after we say our opening prayer, what we will do is continue with a look at Mary's words in Scripture. I mentioned over the weekend that this is based loosely on my book, Listen to Your Blessed Mother, Mary's Words in Scripture. I'm not going to read from my book, but what I want to do is, and I love the idea. See, this is why I let the Holy Spirit produce this show, because he does a much better job than I could ever do, right? I mean, he really does. I think this idea came to me, and I thought, well, we're supposed to be spending a week focusing on the Blessed Mother, about her life, looking at her as a role model, getting to know her, etc. And I thought, what better way than to look at her words and her appearances in sacred Scripture? There aren't too many of them. She only spoke on four occasions in the pages of the Bible, but what she said is incredibly powerful. So using St. Louis de Montfort's guidelines, his framework, and really all he said was we should spend a week focused on the Blessed Mother, and that's what we're doing. I thought, what better way than to take a look at Mary's words? So we'll continue that for the next few days. And then next Friday, which is what, September the 30th, we will go into our week devoted to Jesus. We're going to close this out with a week spent focusing on Jesus. And if you have any doubt that this devotion isn't designed to bring you closer to Jesus, I want to point you to a couple pieces of evidence. Number one, St. Louis de Montfort has a motto, and you'd think he would have some, you know, we know he is such a Marian saint, but you'd think he'd have some kind of a motto having to do with the Blessed Mother. Wouldn't it be obvious? His motto is God alone. God alone is the motto of St. Louis de Montfort, because he recognizes the fact that God alone is what we need in our life. And of course, the Blessed Mother, she will draw you close to Jesus. And then as a result, Jesus will draw you close to his Heavenly Father. You know, you'll also get to know the Holy Spirit through the Blessed Mother. This is a process. And this is a collection of great people that you want to be a part of. You want to be a part of that family. And Mary's goal is to get you there. The other piece of information that we could look at if we think, well, this is too Marian, we're focusing too much on Mary, is that the final week of this devotion isn't devoted to Mary. This preparation, we end up by spending a week looking at the life of Jesus. So St. Louis de Montfort understands that. And in fact, he said, I probably said this earlier in the preparation, he said that if any Marian devotion, any devotion to Mary, brings you away from Jesus, takes you away from Jesus. It's from the devil, and get rid of it. He understands that. You become devoted to Mary. You get to know Mary only so that you can grow closer to Jesus. That's the point. That's what Mary wants to do. Mary delivered Jesus to us. She delivered the Savior to the world. She didn't try to keep you and me for herself. That's not what she's trying to do. So she's bringing us closer to Jesus. But if you do have that kind of a fear, that's a very common fear, remember, we're spending a lot of time throughout this process looking not only at the life of Mary, but looking at the life of Jesus. What you can expect on October the 7th, as I get closer, I'll lay some of this, some of these facts on you. But what you can expect once you make your total consecration is you're going to have a desire to grow closer to Jesus, to read the Bible more, to go to Mass more, to go to confession more, to pray more. It happens gradually. It generally doesn't happen overnight. Okay, so that's, I wanted to make sure we talked about those things. Hopefully the audio problems are behind us, so we're going to test this program, this recording out. I think we should be okay to go. Sorry about the difficulties that we've been having over the past couple days, but I think we're back on track now. The final thing I want to say before we go into our prayer is donations. I want to thank you for your response. I always mention it because, I know you care. I know you care about the program because you listen to it. And I want you to be clear. I want it to be really clear that I do need donations to continue my work. And I don't like to talk about it, but I owe it to the Lord to be able to talk about it in order for me to do His work and to get out into the world and do what I do on a full-time basis. I have to turn to you and say, can you help me out financially? And the way you do that is you simply go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Donate tab, and that'll take you to a page where you can donate securely online through PayPal. That's a big help if you could do it that way. If you could be willing to become a monthly sponsor, I would love to get several new monthly sponsors. And all that means is that a certain amount gets taken out each month. If you want to do $10 a month, that's fine. If you could afford to do more, please, I could really use it. But $10 a month works out to 33 cents a day. That's it. So if you could help me out that way, and remember, after 1 month, you think it's not right for you, you go into PayPal, you cancel it, or you let me know, I'll cancel your profile. So you're not locked into any period of time, but it helps me to have these monthly sponsors because it's very easy to say I'm going to donate to Gary every month and then forget. I do it all the time. That's why I like to, when I'm contributing to a charity, I like to sign up for a sponsorship so that I don't forget to do it each month. So also, please remember the Amazon link as well as Mystic Monk Coffee. If you're a coffee fan, check out the great coffee from Mystic Monk Coffee. You can find the link on my website as well as Amazon. If you shop from Amazon, it wouldn't hurt for you just to use that link to get to Amazon on my website. Once you're in Amazon, everything is the same. Nothing is different for you. But the fact that you came from my website, Amazon can see that, and they give me a small commission on anything you purchase. And I've said it before, I want to make sure you know, I don't get to see anything you purchase. So it's not like I'm snooping on you or anything like that, because that would bother me, I think, a little bit too. I don't see anything except the total amount. So again, I thank you for your support, for listening to this pitch. And please, if you have any questions, please let me know at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's go now to our opening prayer. And a reminder, and this is going to reiterate what I said on Saturday, this is, we've got to keep this preparation real. We don't want to just start spewing prayers and not thinking about what we're saying. What we're asking here is for the Holy Spirit, and don't get offended here. I have this tendency to just read through the prayers and not realize what I'm reading. So I want to just point out what we're doing. We're asking the Holy Spirit to help us through this process because we don't know. We can't do this by ourselves. The Holy Spirit has to guide us through the preparation process, and He's going to lead us where we need to go. Okay? Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructs the hearts of your faithful with the light of your Holy Spirit, make us responsive to his inspirations, so that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thank you for tuning into the program. Again, I'm Gary Zimak. We are in the midst of our total consecration preparation, day 23. You only got 10 days to go. It's unbelievable. This is fantastic. And by the way, if you didn't get to confession over the weekend, please try to make it a point to go before we make the total consecration. My family and I were able to go on Saturday. It was fantastic. But I would strongly encourage you to do it. I'm not going to order you to do it because I just don't want to do that. But I think St. Louis really recommends it. You want to go into this total consecration in order to receive the maximum benefit. You want to enter into it as pure as possible. I don't care if it's been a long time. Pray for the grace, the courage to be able to go to confession, even if you're scared. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. All right, let's see. Here we go. We've talked about the angel Gabriel appearing to the Blessed Mother in Nazareth, giving her the news that she has been chosen to become the mother of the Savior. And as we continue to look at Mary's words in Scripture, let's take a look at what happens immediately after the angel left her. So she has this news now. You're going to be the mother of Jesus, of the Savior, the long-awaited Savior. And now, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. She's elderly. And I'll see you later. That's what happened. That's really what happened to the angel, from the angel Gabriel. That's what happened there. And then in Luke 1, verse 39, we're told that Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Okay, Mary went with haste. What does that tell you? It tells you that she had this sense of urgency. She realized that she needed to get moving. Mary didn't wait around feeling sorry for herself, worrying about what might happen to her. Mary realized that she needed to get busy. She went to visit Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is he, is she who believed there, that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Okay, this sets up a series of words that are incredibly powerful from our Blessed Mother. But you see what happened here. At the sound of the voice of Mary, at the sound of the greeting of Mary, the child leaped in her womb. So the sound of Mary's voice was enough to awaken John the Baptist, who was in Mary's Elizabeth's womb, and he was and she filled with the, let me, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see the power of Mary delivering Jesus, you know, in the same way that she can do to us. And Elizabeth started to praise Mary. "Blessed are you among women." And this is where we get the first part of our prayer, the Hail Mary, from. "And blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then she states, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She's recognizing the fact that Mary is the mother of God. So that's scriptural. Sometimes you'll get a little pushback from some of our non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters. They'll say, "Hey, wait a minute, where's this mother of God stuff? That's impossible." Well, it comes right from the Bible, and St. Elizabeth is recognizing that. And she also stated something that I think you and I should take comfort in knowing. "Behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leaped for joy." Okay, "and blessed is she who believed." She believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. In other words, again, you have biblical proof that Mary did indeed believe what the Lord said to her. It gives you a clue into the kind of faith that she had, because that was a pretty tough message. She didn't get a really easy mission. It wasn't a matter of, "Hey, Mary, I think you need to go teach religious education at school. I think you maybe need to stay home with your family a little bit more. Mary, I think maybe it's time to contribute more to church each week. No, I mean, this is, hey, Mary, you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to give birth to the Messiah. That's the message. If she can believe that, I'm telling you, that's somebody you want on your side. That's somebody you want as your faith coach. That's somebody that you want to go out and obtain graces for. And remember, for you, you want Mary to be working for you. And remember, the church gives Mary to us. The church tells us, yes, Mary is your spiritual mother. Of course, it's based on Jesus giving Mary to us when he was dying on the cross. So this is a great gift, the gift of the Blessed Mother. And now, okay, after all of that, Mary says a beautiful prayer. I'm going to just read it, then we'll talk about it. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his posterity forever." Now, you probably recognize that. That's a prayer known as the Magnificat. And as I mentioned on yesterday's program, most of that, just about all of that prayer, is taken from the Old Testament. A lot of it you can find in 1 Samuel, the prayer of Hannah. But you can find other references to this Magnificat. Some of the other pieces of this prayer come from other Old Testament sources. The one thing to remember is that Mary obviously knew Scripture very well, because she was able to piece this prayer together. And it's a really great prayer. And note that this also tells you a little bit something more about Mary and the way she operates, that she is not very egotistical. She's very humble. Elizabeth is praising her, and what does she do? She right away shifts the praise to the Lord. It's the same way with our intentions, our needs. She's not going to try to solve our problems by herself. She's going to go to Jesus. Everything about Mary points to Jesus. That's what she wants to do in your life. So if you get to know her better, she's going to bring you to Jesus. Say, "Here, I want you to meet my son. I want you to listen to my son." And we're going to explore more of this as we go through the week. If you really look at the personality of Mary, it's incredible just how much faith she had and just how much she loved the Lord. She also says that he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Now, this is somebody conceived without sin and who has never committed a sin. She views herself as a handmaiden and somebody who is very low on the totem pole. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I don't think you and I would feel the same way. If we were sinless, we'd start to get a little bit arrogant, probably. But Mary doesn't feel that way. And she also recognizes that all generations will call her blessed. So therefore, the name the Blessed Virgin Mary, again, that's really biblical. And that's where this comes from. And again, that's not her saying, "Hey, I'm really great, look at me." It's her saying, because of the Lord, she will be recognized as being blessed. Blessed by God, given this incredible role to become the mother of the Savior. And also blessed as part of the preparation for that role to be sinless. You know, really, really good stuff. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." She recognizes that the Lord is mighty. I think that's something you and I need to recognize if we're ever going to experience peace in our life, and if we're ever going to be able to pray with confidence. We've got to believe that God is mighty. We've got to believe he's mighty, and we've got to believe that he loves us. Because if he's not mighty and he loves us, then he still wouldn't be able to help us. But we need to acknowledge that he's all-powerful. And the fact that he loves us means that not only can he help us, but he will always do what's best for us. So you start thinking about these concepts, and all of a sudden, you're able to pray with a lot more confidence in the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord, Mary states, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. She acknowledges the mercy of God for those who fear him. Well, you know that fear of the Lord thing. There are different kinds of fear of the Lord. And I talk more about this in my book, Listen to Your Blessed Mother, but I'll just say briefly, there is a what is known as a servile fear of the Lord, S-E-R-V-I-L-E, servile fear. And that means you're afraid, you're in a sense, you don't want to commit a sin because you're afraid that you'll get sent to hell. Well, that in and of itself is not bad, because there have been many times in my life that kept me out of big trouble. That is generally the start of our conversion. We're at that stage, at the very start of our conversion experience. Like, I want to do the right thing because I don't want to get in trouble one day. I don't want to be judged unfavorably. Now, there's also what's known as a filial fear of the Lord. And a filial fear of the Lord means that you love the Lord so much that you don't want to commit a sin because it'll hurt him. And that's the other end of the spectrum. That's where you want to be. And unless you recognize the fact that God is all-powerful, but that he's just, right, then you're not going to ask for his mercy. See, if you don't view God as your creator, if you don't view him as God, and that you need his mercy. So there's two things there. You have to realize that, number one, you need mercy, that you have to recognize your own sinfulness, your own inability to do anything without his help. And number two, you have to recognize that he can give you, he can show you his mercy, and that he will show it to you because he loves you. And that's what Mary does here. She recognizes that he has mercy on those who fear him, on those who love him so much that they don't want to commit a sin. And he's going to have mercy on those who are just afraid of him too. And I don't want to say you should be afraid of God, because you shouldn't be afraid of God. But let's face it, there are times when a sin looks very attractive to us, but we all of a sudden get that feeling, you know what, I shouldn't do this because I don't want to spend time. I when I die, I want to get to heaven. So if that keeps you from sinning, that's a good thing. Obviously, it's better to not sin because you love God so much you don't want to offend him, but we're not all there. Many of us will never be quite at that point. So let's take what we can get. Okay, so he has shown strength with his arm. Again, God is very strong. Scattered the proud. Only the humble can get to heaven. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. Obviously, if you think you don't need God, he's not going to force his way into your life. He has filled the hungry with good things. Are you hungry for God? Do you desire to grow closer to the Lord? The rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever. In other words, God has never deserted his people. And if God hasn't deserted his people, there's a good chance he's not going to desert you either. So, you know, let's keep that in mind. Really good stuff here. And as we think about, as we spend a little time meditating on today's topic, Luke chapter 1, open up your Bible to Luke chapter 1 when you have a little time, and read Mary's words, the Magnificat, this great prayer, the Magnificat, and just key in on a few phrases. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct you to some key phrases, and you'll get a feel for just how much faith Mary had, and just how humble she really was, and how she understood how much she needed the Lord in her life. And you're going to see something in there that Mary needed a Savior. I don't have time to go into this. Mary did need a Savior, even though she never committed a sin. The church teaches that Mary was saved by a one-time, this is a one-time special case exception, because she had been chosen to be the mother of the Savior. She was saved in advance. So Mary did need a Savior. Jesus died on the cross for Mary, but she was saved prior to even being conceived. It's kind of a funky concept. It's really hard to understand that. But don't get tripped up on that language, because the church does recognize that Mary does need a Savior. On the other hand, she never committed a sin and never was conceived without the stain of original sin. I heard it explained one time by a Catholic apologist that it's as if a car was... Actually, it was as if somebody's about to fall in a ditch. You can either let them fall in the ditch and then drag them out, which is what happened to us when Jesus redeemed us, or you could stop them from falling in the ditch in the first place. That was the case with Mary. So she was redeemed even before she was ever conceived. So she was conceived without original sin. Again, it's a little hard to understand, but that is what the church teaches. Let's do our prayer, Jesus Living in Mary. Then we're going to close out the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, living in Mary, come and live in your servant, in the spirit of your holiness, in the fullness of your gifts, in the perfection of your ways, in the truth of your virtues, in the communion of your mysteries. Subdue within me the power of flesh and demon, by your Holy Spirit, for the glory of God the Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let me take a look at my calendar here to make sure I know where we are. Today is Monday, the 26th of September, and we just wrapped up day 23. Tomorrow, we begin day 24. How do you like that? You see how I can figure this out on the fly? But we're getting close. We're getting close to the end of this preparation. And I want to thank you for the many encouraging emails. I thank you for the prayers. And I remind you to please keep praying for all of us who are making this total consecration. It means a lot. It's getting us through, you know. And I'm sure if you've ever been at a point in this process so far where you felt like quitting and then you wake up the next day and you say, all right, no, I'm going to go on. That's the prayers. That's the prayers helping you to continue going on. So let's keep praying for one another. Remember, St. Louis de Montfort is a saint. He knows what he's talking about. And obviously the church recognizes that, and that's why he was canonized. He knows what he's talking about with this devotion. This devotion is powerful. And when you make your total consecration, you might not feel anything immediately. And I'll talk more about this when we get closer. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you are assenting. You're consenting, I guess is the word. Consenting to let Mary make you into a saint. You're giving her permission. She needs your permission. She will not force herself into your life. She wants you to say, Mary, go ahead. Turn me into a saint more than anything else. I want to be a great saint in heaven. And she's going to get you there. And it doesn't matter whether you think you can't get there. Because we look at our lives, we just spent a week looking at our sinfulness. Obviously, we feel like we can't get there. And we can't get there without help. We don't have to get there without help. The Blessed Mother's going to help us. She's going to get us closer to Jesus. Now, remember, if you have any questions, email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Gary@followingthetruth.com. I'd love to hear from you. Just be a little patient so I can get to all the emails. And again, thanks for your donations. Please keep them coming if you can. And I hope that when we make our total consecration, you'll continue to listen to this program. I'm excited. I think it might go in a little bit of a different direction. We'll focus more on the scriptures, which has always been a part of the show, but I might go even a little bit deeper than that. So I hope you could become a regular listener of the podcast. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. And also remember that you're going to be in my prayers. And just remember all of us who are making this total consecration. Does that sound good? All right, God willing, I'll see you back here tomorrow. Remember to spend a little time thinking about Mary's Magnificat. What a great prayer. What a great prayer for all of us to listen to and to really appreciate. Getting a good idea of what she really believed, how strong of a faith she had, and just what a good coach she'll be in our life. More than a coach, she'll be a mother that will take care of us and help us to avoid making the mistakes that we have made so many times in our life. That's exactly the role that Mary will play in our lives. It's a really cool thing, and it's wonderful to be able to have her by our side. She's going to do great things. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.